The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Coming up, Nicole tells your fortune looking ahead. So get out your crystal and stay tuned with Mistress Nicole. All dressed in leather, you won't forget her. You want to love her and you won't let go. Who's that woman, crazy woman, Nicole?
We now take you back in time. Oh, hold on. We got no audio. No audio. Oh, we do. Sorry about that. We now take you back in time to 2009, December 2009, for this ad put out by MoveOn.org.
Public option.
Yeah, public option.
I'll filibuster.
Trigger?
How about a trigger?
Oh, that will be for actual trigger.
Let me think about that for a second. Filibuster?
Okay, no public option, no trigger. But how about that Medicare expansion you supported 3 months ago?
Yeah.
I would rather see all health care reform die than cave to the demands of my constituents. And by the way, I've got some demands of my own people. Yeah, I'd like to be senator for life.
Done.
Is that legal?
I would like my name inserted into the Pledge of Allegiance where it said flag before.
Yes, okay.
I want a pony.
Done.
And I'd like to be 4 inches taller.
Joe, I'm not sure we can actually make you taller.
Do you really want health care reform to fail?
No.
I do.
I've got some high heels.
We'll find a way to make you taller, Joe.
Consider it done.
So you'll vote for it.
Yeah, definitely, unless I decide not to, in which case you're kind of screwed all over again, right? That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Call 202-456-1111. Joe Lieberman can only hold American healthcare hostage if we let him.
Oh.
Congress and President Obama, please stand up for real healthcare reform.
Boy, I haven't had this many people want to know what I was doing in a long time.
Wow. It's not over yet. Hold on. It says, Congress and President Obama, please stand up for real health care reform.
MoveOn.org, political action is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
MoveOn.org, remember them? They used to be so busy, so active. They're calling out Senator Joe Lieberman. I know it's Lieberman, but, and I know you're not supposed to speak badly of the dead, but oh my goodness. So the news broke during the last few minutes of the show yesterday that Joe Lieberman had died. I didn't see it until after I ended the broadcast. But I did say something in the YouTube chat room, and you know, one of the regulars, like, you know, he just died. Be nice. I got nothing nice to say about Joe Lieberman. Yeah, I'm sorry for his friends and family. You know, death sucks, but it's, you know, one of two things in life that are certain. And yeah, NeuroGeezer says, hasn't he rotted yet? The accolades being heaped upon him on the TV yesterday, where did that come from? Joe Lieberman, you know, belongs in a category with Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. And I can't imagine, well, you know what? I'm wrong. Because people are hypocrites. They will say what they really think when the person's alive, but once they die, it's like you don't go there. David, you have a few nice things to say about Joe Lieberman
and
death?
Well, yes, actually, you know, they say that you should not speak ill of the dead,
yeah.
And he's dead, that's good. And please, let's also give an extra thanks to President Obama for standing up strong for real great health. Oh, wait, he didn't stand up strong,
hold on.
Did he?
Hold on.
He didn't
did he? We got the Affordable Care Act.
But he didn't stand
up
for the
public
option.
You know what, David, I'm not going to have this argument with you. Joe Lieberman killed it. Barack Obama, could he have done better? Of course. But I still have health insurance to this day because we got the Affordable Care Act under Barack Obama, and I don't know that any other president would have gotten it done, and I'd be dead by now.
What's the drop that you have about President Jell-O?
Yeah, well, we're not doing that. This is not about Obama. Talk to me when he dies. Hopefully that won't be for a long time. But Joe Lieberman, up into his last breath, I'm guessing it was just a couple of weeks ago, that he was on the TV saying, we're coming to you with a no-labels ticket, because it was his goal to make sure that Joe Biden did not win re-election. Seriously, why else does no-labels exist? Joe Lieberman turned his back on the Democratic Party and thinks that he can still be a hero to the left?
Bullshit.
It is bullshit. I'm sorry. Again, he was just on TV promoting. We don't have the ticket yet, but we will be announcing it soon. Why? Everybody they approached said, nah, I'm not going there. From Joe Manchin. They probably asked Kyrsten Sinema, though. That would be really stupid. Paul Huntsman, Mitt Romney. Those are the people, the ones who are considered moderates. The ones who don't have a backbone and won't stand up to their party. So anyway, Joe Rick Smith. Joe was a moderate to conservative Democratic senator. By the way, if you want to weigh in on Joe Biden, I mean Joe Lieberman or anything else for that matter, the phone lines are open for the first half hour of the show, 954-889-6410. If you're on Skype, you can Skype in. I'm just Nicole Sandler, all one word, because I don't want to monopolize this first half hour. Now, Howie Klein will be along, as usual, as he is on Thursdays. And Howie has a Joe Lieberman story. Yes, David.
I know you don't want to talk about Obama, so let's talk about how fucking dumb Al Gore was to pick Joe Lieberman
as his
running mate,
that
which cost him the entire South. Yeah. He couldn't carry his own fucking home state after he picked this asshole for his vice presidential nominee.
Well, that's true.
And also, he was too fucking stupid to realize that the guy he was running against, his brother happened to be the governor of Florida, a state he needed to win. But thank you very much, Al Gore, for giving us Dumby a fucking Bush. Thank you.
Okay. My husband, everybody, there's David Sloan. So, you know, he tends to tell us what he really feels. again, phone lines are open should you care to weigh in. And you're right, Kathy, in the chat room, no labels is failing. Joe isn't worth talking about. You're right, except we will talk about him with Howie, because Howie's got a great story. If you checked in with downwithtyranny.com this morning, you heard it, but he'll tell it in a little while. Because Howie got to tell Tipper Gore in person that no, he wouldn't be supporting the Gore-Lieberman ticket. But it was the first time he voted against the Democrats. Now, he didn't vote for Bush-Cheney, but it was the first time that Howie said, no, I will not vote for the lesser of two evils. Now, Howie doesn't feel that way this time around because the stakes are simply too high. Right now, we cannot, under any circumstances, allow Donald Trump back in the White House. And as I've said over and over again, and I'll keep saying, he will not win legitimately. But that didn't stop him last time, right? He's going to pull out every trick in the book and enlist every criminal con man just like him to do what they can to steal the 2024 election. All the while, he'll be telling us that those Democrats, those evil Democrats, they're stealing the election.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Opposite World.
So there's that. Hey, programming note, because tomorrow is Good Friday. Now I know, in my book, Every Friday is Good Friday. It means the weekend's here. We don't have to talk about Friday Eve, which, you know, that would be today. No, tomorrow's Friday. And as soon as, you know, 3 o'clock hits, because now I go on the air an hour earlier because we don't turn our clocks back here in Arizona. I go into weekend mode. And my weekend mode is whenever possible, I tune out the news. I go into creating mode. I go into catching up on sleep mode. I go into anything but, you know, except for the occasional check-in to make sure the world's still standing. I'm guessing my colleagues will be off tomorrow because Good Friday, and any excuse to take off a holiday, they will. But Fridays around here are time with Marcy Wheeler. Now, here's a little known secret. Today's her birthday. So if you are on, what was that click? If you are on any of the social medias with Marcy Wheeler, you might want to, she's on Shitter still at Empty Wheel, and she's on Mastodon. She's Empty Wheel everywhere, and on Blue Sky. Wish her a happy birthday. Now, she will not be here tomorrow, but we taped this morning. So she and her husband are enjoying a wonderful weekend in the countryside of Ireland. But I got up early today. I'm up anyway. But at 7 a.m. Arizona time this morning, we recorded the segment for tomorrow. So we will have our weekly fix of Marcy Wheeler. And, you know, if you're extra bored over Easter, you know, you can go sit in church and put the earbuds in and listen to Marcy inform us about what's going on. So anyway, we will have Marcy Wheeler tomorrow, just taped a day earlier, so she can enjoy her weekend birthday. I played the clip, the Joe Lieberman, what? Michael Douglas? No, TMB. You know what? See, I don't trust you guys. I'm gonna look and see if there's something here. No, he didn't. Somebody said something, but I don't repeat things unless I can verify them, and it doesn't appear to be the case. TMB. Cite your sources before you say something like that. I don't know. Anyway, and I'll let you know if there's something we need to know about. But I don't always get it because I don't have a producer working with. Anyway, I'm all over the place. No, somebody said something about Michael Douglas, but I just Googled him and nothing came up. So I'm sure he's fine. He's 79 years old, still married to Catherine Zeta-Jones. And that's all until I hear anything different. That's my story, and I'm standing by it. Yeah. So, okay, sorry. Back to your regularly scheduled news. Okay, so I did Marcy Wheeler. I did Joe Lieberman. So I played that Move On ad to spur your memory that Joe Lieberman was a big reason why we do not have a public option. Because Joe pulled Joe Manchin pulled a Kyrsten Sinema while he was still in the Senate and said, I'll filibuster it. So we do not have it. Well, the fucking news, which you would read if you had subscribed at thefuckingnews.substack.com. Well, the newsletter this morning tells us that the Federal Court of Appeals that hears cases from Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas is poised to overturn the part of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, that requires that insurance companies cover preventive services. And that's the word, preventive, not preventative. I don't think there is such a word, even though so many of us say it. Preventive services. A 3-judge panel from the Fifth Circuit earlier this month heard a case filed by, of course, right-wing activists challenging the federal laws that let a Health and Human Services task force decide which preventive services are covered under the Affordable Care Act. it's like you can't win. So, you know, the Biden campaign has been saying that the former guy's campaign and the former guy, should he get back into office, was going to again pull out his old, you know, storyline, his old game plan book or something, and overturn the Affordable Care Act. Now, you might remember during the 4 years we were in purgatory that he talked about it all the time. Oh, yeah, we're going to repeal and replace it. I'll have the replacement plan in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. It's been many more than 2 weeks, many multiples of 2 weeks, and we still never heard any kind of Republican replacement for Obamacare, for the Affordable Care Act. Well, the other day, Donald Trump, in all his geniusness, because he is a very stable genius, you remember, put out a shit on his Truth Social. Boy, talk about an Orwellian name, that read, "I'm not running to terminate the ACA as crooked Joe Budden disinformates and misinformates all the time. I'm running to close." What? Did I miss something here? First of all, misinformates and disinformates, if Joe Biden, with an I, ever said anything that asinine, you would not hear the end of it in the corporate media. Oh, see, he's demented. He's got dementia. He's losing his mind. He can't even write anything. Well, when does the same scrutiny turn on the orange menace, who has lost his mind? He's probably got syphilis coursing through his brains. You're going to misinformate? What the fuck? Misinformate? Nobody else could get away with that but Donald Trump. He can say shit like that. He puts it in writing and puts it out for the world to see. And it's like tumbleweed in the corporate media, who's, I guess, too busy defending the legitimacy of someone like Ronna, not Romney, McDaniel. I just nothing makes sense. By the way, I saw a poll this morning, a Quinnipiac poll, that had Joe Biden ahead of Donald Trump. Why isn't that being shouted from the rooftops? Oh, because it doesn't advance the corporate network television goal of a horse race to the very end. Oh, my goodness. It's just, it's infuriating. I mean, it's just infuriating. I don't get it. I just don't get it. All right. One more bit of like housekeeping. So those of you who've been with me for a long time will remember that as the as Vladimir Putin began his war on Ukraine, you know, I have a thing where occasionally I'll just get on the phone and call overseas. You really can't call people here in the States because you got to ask their permission to go on the air and all that. But you can, unless you're calling a state that is a one-party permission state. Because I'm in Arizona, which is a one-party state, but there's technicalities and a lot of stuff there. I've called domestically before, but I like to call overseas, because we get a very different news than much of the rest of the world. Now, I'm not saying it's better than everywhere else. I think we're these days somewhere in the middle. There are organizations that measure that stuff. But that's not what this is about. Back before Putin launched the first attack on Ukraine, we were getting news that troops were amassing along the border and an attack was imminent. And I started calling different hotels in Kyiv and mostly was met with disbelief. You know, I spoke to a couple of clerks who the first one's like, "Oh no, that's not happening. We're fine. I can't talk now. Bye." And then the last one I spoke to before the war broke out said, no, we haven't heard anything like that. Yeah, you know, there's a chance maybe he'll do something in the outlying areas, but he won't hit Kyiv. And I told her that's not what we're seeing here. And I implored her to please stay safe. I wish I knew who that woman was because I would like to check in with her. But what I did in the days after the war started is I found, you know, I usually call hotels if I'm going to call another nation, because if you reach a hotel, chances are you're going to get someone who speaks English. So I found a hostel in Kyiv that was called Friends Forever. And the name, and the, you know, you can look on Yelp and places like that. And their sign, there were pictures of the Friends Forever hostel in Kyiv. The sign was in English, Friends Forever. And it just seemed very welcoming. And the reviews were very welcoming. So I called. And that's when I met Tanya. So when she first picked up, the first time I called, she was in the basement because there was an air raid going on. And she had just gone up the stairs to get a breath of fresh air and to, I don't know, to get something from the hostel before going back down to the basement. And the phone rang and she answered it and we talked and we struck up a friendship. And we communicated most of the time via the Telegram app. Telegram app is much more popular in Europe and other places than it is here, but it is a means of communication. And so I have to, we communicated for the better part of a year. And the last time we actually, we didn't speak, the last time we traded Telegram messages, she had told me that she was, here, let me read to you. It was back in September. So before we left Florida to move to Arizona. And I had asked her, and even then it had been a while since we spoke. I wrote, Tanya, it's been so long since we've spoken. I think of you often, but I don't want to be a pest. How are you? How's life? Are you okay? And she responded to me September 2nd. She wrote, hi, everything is fine with us. This is amazing. It's wartime. She desperately wanted to become pregnant. She said, we did IVF and were pregnant, but it only lasted 7 weeks and the development ended. It was in May. This month, we were bombed the most, 28 days out of 31. Then I had a long way of acceptance. Now I'm alive again. I'm up on my nails and learning healing herbs for teas, candles and more. So I can say that I'm fine, but we're getting ready for the next eco trip for the baby before it's too late. I want to become a mother. And she sent me some pictures, which were beautiful. So she and her husband are there. And, you know, I had asked her if she'd come back on the show and she sort of begged off. So I left her alone. I didn't want to be a bother, and I'm sure she's got enough stress on her. And we moved to Arizona. I got everything set up here, and I never fired up Telegram again. Well, in the last week, we've heard of horrible upsurges in the attacks by Russia on Ukraine after the horrible mass shooting at a concert in Russia that ISIS took credit for, but Putin said, no, we think it was Ukraine. So he went and bombed a big shopping mall in Ukraine. So, of course, I start thinking about Tanya again. So I opened up Telegram yesterday and I sent her a message. I wrote, hi, Tanya, it's been a while. And for that, I apologize. We moved from Florida to Arizona and I've been off Telegram this whole time. But I've been thinking of you a lot lately, especially after the events of the past few days. How are you? Please give me an update. And I sent that on Monday and I didn't hear anything. So I get worried. So this morning, just a little while ago, right before the show, I sent her another note and I said, I hope I haven't offended you by staying away for so long. The last time we communicated, it seemed to me that you wanted to just get on with your life. I understand, but I think of you often and I hope that you're doing okay. If you feel comfortable, I hope you'll let me know how you're doing. And just moments ago, she responded. I'm going to show, if you're watching one of the video streams, I will show you the her response. So she wrote, hello, my dear. Everything is fine with me. We have learned to live and enjoy without concentrating on the war. There's a safe place near the house. Now we always go underground when there's an air raid alarm. I work and provide spiritual help to women. I created a transformation game for women to remember the purpose of life. It was a very nice community of women. And let me show you the pictures that she sent. So there's, I guess that's Tanya standing there leading a circle of women. Cool, right? And then I guess here's the group of women again. That's Tanya in white in the middle. And then she sent a little video. There's no audio on it, but there she is. That's Tanya. So, I think we take the good news anywhere we can get it. So I'll reach out to her again and see if she'd be up for a conversation. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I wrote, so there's more, because I responded to her. I said, thank you so much for this. I'm so relieved to hear and see you're doing well. Is the hostel still open? You look great. And she said, hold on, let me bring it up here so actually I can read it because it's on the computer. She said, yes, the hostel is open. On March 7th, the hostel had a birthday. We were 5 years old. And then she said, there are a lot of military people. Oh, wow. A lot of people from cities under occupation. There are many young people looking for work in Kyiv. So, yes, I can't even imagine, the courage it takes to live in a situation like this and to go ahead and try to do spiritual work to help other women. She's an impressive woman. I spoke with, I'm drawing a blank on his name now, a journalist who was over there. I need to reach out to him again. He's done a bunch of the shows. I've spoken to him a couple of times over the course of the war there. He's an American. Phil Eiten, I think, might be his name. And he was there, and he told me he would go by and check out and, try to track down Tanya and go say hello. I'll have to check in with him again and see if by any chance he's still there and maybe if he'd go over and see her. Again, when times are tough, we take good news and word of resilience and strength and hopefully draw from it. I am dreading, frankly, the next 8 months. Just one more quick aside, and then we'll get Howie Klein on the line. There's a number of reasons I'm still on Facebook. One is to stay in touch with the record music industry, radio industry people who, we're old, and old people congregate on Facebook. So that's how I stay in touch with them. But I also stay in touch with people I knew in high school. Again, we're old. And my class, the class of 1977, is this year turning 65. And so I'm seeing on Facebook posts from old friends of mine who have turned 65, and it's like every last one, Medicare, here I come. I always enjoyed being like the youngest one because my birthday's in November. But I'm counting the days until November so I can get on Medicare, because I really think they want to kill you before you hit 65 so you never get on Medicare, because the insurance offerings, even under the Affordable Care Act, are horrible when you're 64. You know, the Beatles song, when you, yes, Phil Itner. Thank you, Spock. I'm going to have to reach out to him. Yep. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? No, you have to wait till you're 65. So I am, I'm being as careful as possible not to get sick until I get on Medicare. But I have to wait till November. Well, what else is in November? The election. Oh my goodness. So I don't get on Medicare until the 2024. Now my birthday's November 4th. Election day's November 5th. But I think I get it. I get access to it on November 1st because it's your birth month. But still, these next 8 months are going to be hell. I'm dreading every part of it. And I'm trying not to be negative. I'm just trying to prepare for the worst. Hope for the best. prepare for the worst. And I'm jealous. I used to, well, and back when we were kids, I hated it too because all my friends got their driver's licenses at 16 and my birthday was in November. So I was always, you know, I was the baby. Ugh. All right. Be sure to get a good supplement. Yes, Plan G is great, but Plan N is almost as good for quite a bit less. I'm already, you know, I'm already doing the research and David's already done it, but I'd like to do my own. So, but I'm being inundated with ads. You're 64. Are you prepared for Medicare? The one thing I do know is I will not get a Medicare so-called Advantage plan because they are, oops, oh, I already changed. No, that's usually the bullshit button. This time it was a rim shot. Not much of a difference, I guess. All right. I'll take a triple today, please.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Howie Klein.
Nicole Sandler.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm hanging in there, and I was going to just say, hopefully you're noticing that the audio's better. I had a complete gremlin meltdown, and I rebuilt the studio like three times the other night because I had Bart McQuaid on yesterday, and I really wanted it to work for her. And it, just as you said, how are you? You cut out. So hopefully our connection is okay.
Okay, you're cutting in and out.
What else is new? I'm sorry. But you sound good on this end. And I guess good. As long as the listeners can hear you, that's important. You can just, you know what I'm going to say anyway. So, you know.
Okay.
So I go to, you know, a couple of things that I wanted to see how you were going to handle at downwithtyranny.com. And one of them being the, you know, I know you don't like to speak ill of the dead.
Except in one case.
And I guess that case would be Joe Lieberman.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. So
I that's just too much for me to bite my tongue and keep quiet. I thought I would just get it. I tweeted as soon as I heard it that people should just listen to the Bauhaus debut single. Bela Lugosi's dead.
Yes.
He's dead. But then as I thought more about it, I just had to say a few words about what a detestable character this guy is.
Yes, and you did. First of all, the graphic, it's a cover. Hits Magazine was a big trade, is still a big trade magazine for the radio and record industry. And was this a real cover, or did somebody mock this up for you?
Absolutely real cover.
Oh, my God. So it's the 15th anniversary issue of Hits Magazine, who's been around a lot longer than that. And it had the parental advisory explicit lyrics stickers that were put on records back then because Tipper Gore had a bug up her ass that they say bad words in songs.
Tipper and Joe Manchin. I'm sorry, he wasn't around yet. Joe Lieberman.
Lieberman, yes. You tell a great story, Howie Klein, about you got a call from the Clinton White House.
Yeah, from his social secretary. So I didn't really go into the whole story in the Post. I mean, I went into a lot of it, but there's a little backstory,
okay,
which is that I was at a so the RIAA, which is the trade organization for the music industry, for the record industry. They needed somebody to talk to Clinton about a copyright bill that was going through Congress. Now, the bill was already, it was all set. The lobbyists had done their job. The bill was going to pass. But someone had to tell Clinton, because it was going to come to his desk and he had to sign it, which he would have done because the Democrats were all gung-ho on it since they had all been paid off already. But so the way to do this, they felt, was for one of the presidents of the companies to talk to Clinton about it.
Ah.
And no one really understood what it was because it was early days of the internet and it was for copyright protection online. So they asked me if I would do it since I, you know, actually used a computer even back then. So I said, sure, I'd be happy to. Clinton was coming to Los Angeles. They got me a ticket. They made a gigantic donation, I think 50 grand,
uh-huh,
to the DNC in my name, which caused me lots of trouble later on, by the way,
uh-huh,
since every Democrat who was running for office would see that $50,000 and hit me up. You don't have to give me 50, just give me 40. Yeah. Anyway, so I went to this event. Someone introduced me to Clinton, and we talked about it, there was nothing really to be done, just for him to know that he was being respected. That's it. That was all there was to it. But he had no interest really in talking to me about this. He just wanted to talk to me about Joni Mitchell and Stevie Nicks.
Okay.
And how could he meet them? that was it. So I said, yes, I'll help you with that. That's not a problem. I can. He said, you really can? You can really, really help? I said, yes, I'll make sure that Joni comes to meet you at the White House. Oh my God. Oh, I can't believe it. He was like so excited. And then, of course, you know that the Democrats used Fleetwood Mac song,
right,
as their theme song,
right,
for his
Don't
election.
Stop, yes.
And anyway, so that was kind of the backstory. The unsavory part of this was that at the end of our discussion of how he's going to meet Joni Mitchell and Stevie Nicks, not together, he called over one of the criminals in Congress. He's gone. Charlie Rangel. This was going through, as though he were going to tell me, tell Charlie to take care of this for me. But it didn't need to be. It had already been done. Charlie had been paid off. This was the past. But Charlie didn't know that. He was already, you know, very senile and had no idea what was going on. So Clinton introduces me to Charlie, and he walks away. Charlie immediately calls over his son, who's the bag man, and then he says, you know, he'll take care of this with you. Nothing needed to be taken care of, but the son immediately asked for 20 grand.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. My God. Okay. Well,
so anyway, look, this is finished. This is not happening. This is just a courtesy call. And he understood and, you know, just dropped it right then and there. So that was fine. Anyway, Clinton got this idea, especially because Joni went to the White House, that I could deliver musicians,
right,
at will.
Yes.
So I get this call from his social secretary, like, I don't know, years later or a year later, whatever. And she says, the president wants you to have Lou Rawls come and play at the White House.
Lou Rawls? Right.
Yeah, that's what I said. Lou Rawls. She said, yes. I said, I have nothing to do with Lou Rawls.
Right. That's not my kind of music. Right. That's not. Yeah. That's, yeah.
Well, no, I kind of like him, but, yeah, but it wasn't on Reprise. It,
right,
wasn't on Sire. It had,
right,
nothing to do with me.
Right.
So she says, and the way she says, but the president said you do, means that is the reality. That's the truth. Because he said it. That's how it is. And I said, well, it's not. And we went back and forth, and I finally said, can you tell me what this is about? And she couldn't exactly tell me what it was about. She said, it's a secret. And then she said, it's for a White House banquet. And I said, look, let me look into this Lou Rawls thing, and I'll call you back as soon as I do. So I started looking for maybe he was on Reprise or Warner Brothers in the distant past.
Right.
So I started looking. No, he wasn't. Nothing to do with us ever. There was no way that he was going to be anyone who I would be able to contact. So I called her back and said, tell me more about this banquet. Oh, no, no, that's a secret. I said, I can't help you if you don't tell me. So she then got permission. She called me back. And immediately, as soon as she said it, I knew what this was about. The president of the Czech Republic was being honored at this banquet. The second she said his name, I knew what this was. His favorite artist in the world and beyond favorite. I mean,
right?
It was not Lou Rawls, but Lou Reed.
Lou Reed! Oh, that makes sense.
Yes, and the president, or President Clinton, I should say, he heard Lou and he got all excited because he loves Lou Rawls. That's the kind of music he likes. He doesn't know who the hell Lou Reed is, but he certainly knew who Lou Rawls was. So Václav Havel, the president of the Czech Republic, his revolution against the Soviet Union, he named it the Velvet Revolution based on
the Velvet Underground.
Exactly. And he wrote about them, and he was a huge Lou Reed fan. So as soon as he was coming to the White House for a banquet and they asked him what kind of music he would like, he immediately said Lou Reed. Anyway, it got, lost in phone translation. And that was the easiest pie for me because Lou was not just one of my artists, but also a close friend. So I called Lou and I said, you want to play the White House? He said, yeah, after sure. So we worked it out. And I went as well. So Roland, my partner, said he doesn't want to go. And I said, this is a chance to go to the White House and meet the president. And he said, I know you, and you're going to make a scene at some point, embarrass me, and I don't want to go. I said, I promise I'll be good. I'll be very well behaved. No. So he refused to go. So another guy who I was friendly with, I brought him instead as my date. We went. Lou Reed played. Clinton liked it. I mean, Lou Reed had a brand new hit. His career had sort of gone downhill. Then Seymour Stein signed him to Sire, and he had a big hit with a song called Dirty Boulevard.
Right. Oh, it's a great song.
He hadn't had a hit for quite a long time, mm-hmm. but Clinton loved it. He loved it. When Lou started playing it, he jumped up on the stage with his saxophone and started playing along. It was a really great night and a lot of fun. I mean, I was sitting next to a Republican senator, Dick Lugar.
Oh, yeah.
Conservative Republican senator who and he was literally dancing in his seat. They were all dancing in their seats. Everybody was like loving it to this song. And I was thinking, if any of them knew the lyrics to this song,
yes.
they would go running out of the room with their hair on fire. But they didn't, and they all enjoyed it. After that, after dinner, they told everyone to go to some other room where there was going to be dancing. And I was trying to remember if there was a DJ or a band. I couldn't remember today when I was writing. But we would, me and my friend Brian were dancing. And all of a sudden, the assistant chief of staff or something of Tipper Gore, who I had already had plenty of run-ins with over this Joe Lieberman thing. I mean, she and I had been very, very bitter opponents over this because I was the executive producer of Cop Killer, the body count song, which was one of the impetuses for this whole thing. So she and I had been debating and saying terrible things about each other. So she sent this woman over to talk to me, and just since I was dancing with another guy, it wasn't like she had a way to interrupt. She just butt right in as though it weren't even happening.
Right.
Remember, this is in the 1990s, so maybe people would respect that now, but then they didn't. And she said, Tipper would like to know if you are going to support, Pippa would like you to come over and talk to her. And basically they wanted to know if I was going to support Al Gore and if I would sort of help Al Gore the same way I helped Clinton with musicians and the music community. And I think what she was sort of getting at more than musicians was if I would help raise money from the music business. So I said to her, the people in the music business really hate you. I mean, you're their enemy. They hate you.
Right.
And there's nothing that I could do to help you. the kind of people who might like you in the music business hate me.
Right.
So, and on top of that, they hate somebody else more, and that's your partner in crime, which I called him our partner in crime, Joe Lieberman.
Wow.
And he, and you know, the idea of him being vice president, or running mate, I should say, means that it's going to be the first time in my life that I don't vote for a Democratic ticket. So by that time already, she had nothing more she wanted to say to me. So that ended, and I went back. And in my post, I said we went back and danced some more. Actually, we did something else, which we went to one of the restrooms in the White House, just for the sake of saying of being able to say I did it in a restroom.
So you defiled one of the bathrooms in the White House?
We didn't defile it.
You enjoyed it in an unconventional way.
Yes, it was a loving situation.
Very nice. That's great. Did you ever talk to or hear from Tipper Gore again after that?
No. Nor did I vote for Al Gore.
And that was your first time saying I'm not voting for, as you call, the lesser of two evils.
That was the first. So that was the first time I didn't vote for a Democrat, and it really was hard for me to come to grips with what I was doing, because he was running against Bush.
Bush and Cheney. Cheney,
yes,
sorry.
Who were, undoubtedly worse.
Right.
No question that they were worse, but there was nothing that was going to make me vote for Joe Lieberman. I mean, and Gore, when people think about Gore now, including myself, it's pretty positive.
Yeah.
But back then, he wasn't that great. He was a senator from Tennessee who was definitely very conservative. Then when he became vice president, he wasn't as bad, but he wasn't good. But he wasn't as terrible as he was when he was a senator. His father had been a senator from Tennessee as well, Al Gore Sr. And he had been a great New Deal senator, really, really good, like a real progressive. And then the son comes in. Everyone thinks for some reason the son's going to be like him. No, the son was more like Joe Lieberman.
Yeah.
He was definitely one of the conservatives. So anyway, that was wonderful story. Happy to tell you.
That is a great story.
As I said in the story, my hatred for Joe Lieberman is unabated. Although, I'll give up on it now that he's dead. There's no reason in holding on to it. But, just at the moment of his death, I just thought really horrible thoughts about him. And I had to sort of get them out on paper.
And I'm glad you did. And up to the last moment, he was trying to do everything he could to make sure Joe Biden doesn't win re-election with this no labels bullshit. I saw him on TV just a couple of weeks ago saying, we're not announcing our ticket today, just announcing that we will run a ticket to go up against Biden and Trump. To what end?
So right. Well, the thing is, he's the chairman of the board. He's the founding chairman of their board of directors. And they, when he made that announcement, they had already been turned down by a dozen people.
That's right.
And they got turned down again yesterday. On the day that he died, they got turned down by Chris Christie. Chris Christie, everybody that they have asked has said no. I mean, and the joke was that eventually there was no one would be left but Joe Lieberman. They'd have to run him.
he might do better than the no labels ticket otherwise would have. No, the whole thing is ridiculous, and it goes to the RFK Jr. thing. Why is he doing this? Other than to ensure a Trump victory, because I know he doesn't believe he can win.
He knows that that no labels would be able to win. They do know that. The reason is because the people who own no labels is this guy Penn.
Mark Penn?
His wife.
Mark Penn, the guy who ran Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Mark Penn and
Nancy something,
his
right?
His wife Nancy Jacobson.
Yes.
So they are. There are no Democrats who are bigger grifters than those two. That's their whole thing, is grifting. So this is about, I mean, people say it's because they want to, because No Labels wants to get Trump to win. And that may be part of it, but not as much as the fact that these two characters want to put money in their pockets.
Wow. Wow. You know, some things you just...
She's the president of No Labels, by the way. She's the ultimate boss. And you know, the way they do it is they'll collect lots and lots of money from, in this case, from Republican billionaires who want to see Trump win. So these Republicans will give lots of money to No Labels. They do all the time. And then she'll hire her husband at, you know, incredibly exorbitant fees to do various things. And then he'll say, I don't have anything to do with it.
Right.
You know, I'm just an employee.
God. So, I mean, are they going to get somebody? I know John Huntsman turned them down. Mitt Romney turned them down. You say Chris Christie turned them down. Joe Lieberman's dead. Joe Manchin turned them down. Did they ask Kyrsten Sinema?
Yes, and they did ask her, and it's not public what she has said, but I think she's not going to do it either, but who knows with her. You know, but I mean, it would seem to me if they were chasing after Chris Christie really hard until yesterday, that did they really ask her? You know, the other possibility is Tulsi Gabbard, who I know they've been talking to as well, and Tulsi is... you know, still kind of hoping that she's going to get the nod from Trump, which she's not going to get.
It's all insane. And I don't understand. Look, you who famously, since Gore Lieberman said, I'm not voting for the lesser of two evils, have even publicly now said you will vote for Joe Biden because the alternative is just too dangerous.
Right, I know. I still have to come to grips with it, but yes, I am going to vote for a very, very, very conservative Democrat who I vowed I would never vote for, just to try to keep Trump out of office. And even in California, where it isn't even necessary. In other words, Trump's not going to win California no matter how I vote. So my excuse could be, well, it doesn't matter if I vote for him or not. I can, you know, still stay pure. But I would like to see, when the court cases come, Biden have as many possible votes as possible, you know, even my one extra vote. I would say I'm definitely going to vote for Biden.
Good. I thank you for that. By the way, I do want to share one good news story. Can you explain what happened in Alabama the other day?
Yes, I am happy to. So there was a Republican crook who was in the state legislature, and he was forced to resign. And this was a special election to fill his seat. So it's a Republican seat, but not like an overwhelmingly Republican seat, but it's a safe Republican seat south of Huntsville. So Huntsville, people know, which is in the very northern part of the state, is a kind of upscale city compared to most of the rest of Alabama. It's, you know, well-educated. This is a suburban city, suburban district south of Huntsville, which is right up against the Tennessee border. And Huntsville is also the biggest city in Alabama, which is also, people don't know. It's an important city. There's about 250,000 people that live just in the city itself. So this district has a little bit of the southern part of Huntsville, and then it goes into the county south of the town. And the Democratic woman who ran last time and was defeated, she lost by about, I can't remember, either 7 or 9 points, less than 10 points. So that, you know, for a Democrat, that's a big deal. Now, I should just point out, there hasn't been a Democratic net gain in the legislature of Alabama in decades.
Wow.
Quite a few decades. So this was going to be quite amazing for her to run, but she did run. She ran on one issue. No, I shouldn't say that. She ran as a Democrat, but she concentrated on one issue, and that was choice, women's choice. That was it. Now, she did talk about all the things that motivate Democrats. She did, but it was like she'd say that for like 5 minutes and then talk for half an hour about choice. It was choice, choice, choice. The Republican did everything he could to avoid choice. And the in vitro fertilization issue, of course, is bigger in Alabama than anywhere else. So he avoided talking about it. He wouldn't take up the bait, but everyone knew. She beat him. She didn't just beat him a little, which some polls suggest. Most of the polls said he was going to win. Right up to the end, the polls had him winning. Some polls, including her private poll, show that she was going to win by a point or two, that close. So not even within the margin, I mean, I should say in the margin of error. So it didn't look like she was going to win. And if she did, it would be really close. It was by 25 points.
Wow. That is
she beat
astounding.
Him by 25 points. The story that I wrote about it isn't really about that. It was a piece of a story about all this bullshit about how blacks are going to abandon Biden and vote for Trump. The black turnout in her district, especially in the town which had the most black voters, was very, very large and went to her. So I don't see are there black voters who are going to vote for Trump? Sure.
The rappers. The rich rappers.
Sorry?
The rich rappers.
Yes. The rich rappers and also criminal rappers.
Right.
The criminal rap, I mean, there was, what was his name? A big one. Diddy. Do you know about that story?
Oh, yeah. His house was raided. It's sex trafficking and stuff. Like, crazy stuff. Yeah. Diddy supports Trump.
When the FBI headed to his house, he headed to the airport, got in his private plane, and flew to Antigua, which is where he is now.
Oh.
But generally speaking, what Trump had been doing was pardoning some of these rappers, not necessarily, I mean, yes, rich, probably hopeful of getting campaign contributions, mm-hmm. but more important, to get influencers on his side who would persuade African Americans and rap fans to vote for him.
Right.
I don't know that it's working. I don't see any bigger percentage than every year. I mean, it's always like a little bit under 10% that vote for Republicans, and that looks like to me like that's what it's going to be now. Some of the worst polling of all, and when I say worst, I mean the least reliable polling, is that CNN New York Times poll. CNN is really terrible. They're an awful firm. They're not trying to be awful the way like some of the Republican firms are. They actually try to be good, but they're not good. They're a bad firm.
Right.
They actually are a good firm for New York politics. When they poll in New York politics, it's worth paying attention to what they say because they're right on. When they poll nationally, you might as well not even read it. Their polling is insane. But it instead of being laughed at, they're the New York Times pollsters, so
right.
Everyone pays attention. But anyway, what I see is if there is truly some kind of an African American surge for Trump, it'll bring his total to 10%,
right?
Not to 3%, which is what those idiots at CNN said. That's not going to happen.
Even with the sneakers? Even with the gold-plated sneakers? Sorry.
That's a thing. Gold-plated sneakers is a thing. I did an interesting piece about that. Sexy Red is a Trump fan, and she's the... her picture is at the top of the page. I can't remember the name of the article. That's why
okay,
I mentioned.
Okay, hold on. I'm looking.
Oh,
there it
picture.
Is. Okay, I see it right here. No, normal black voters won't be backing Senor Trumpanzee in November, and I'm putting her picture up here. So this is
right.
I don't know
where. She's from St. Louis. She's a Trumper, and she's 25, and she is not. She's not brilliant, but I talk about some of the reasons why people vote for or maybe saying they're going to vote for Trump. And it's worth reading. It took me a really long time to write it. And it has to do with this whole idea of being contrary or being a rebel. And that stuff isn't bad. That stuff is healthy. And I'm in no way trying to put it down or trying to put the people down who are part of that. So that, and that's why I have it up there, and that's why it's worth reading, because, you know, I can't get necessarily into her head.
No.
And I don't know if the things she says that sound incredibly stupid are just things she's saying, or if it's what she really believes. But it's not just her. You know, I have a long list of very successful rappers, some of them gigantic.
Yeah.
You know, they're not all like Kanye West, who's basically, you know, sort of as someone who escaped from a mental institution and no one cares what he says anymore. They're not all like that. There are people who are respected and well-liked in the rap community.
Sure.
And you know, I'm not saying it's like some majority of rappers. That's not it. But it's a significant number of rappers who are loudly
here's your list.
Talking about Trump, saying that he gave us checks. We got the checks from Trump.
Right.
Or some of them are being a little more honest and saying, you know, I don't want to pay taxes.
Right. No, you have Kanye West, Snoop Dogg, Waka Flocka Flame, Benny the Butcher, 5EO Foreign. Excuse if I'm pronouncing these wrong. This is not my music. I do not. I'm more Joni Mitchell than rap. 6IX9, Bandman Kevo, Lil Wayne, DaBaby, who I saw on Saturday Night Live once and nearly shit my diaper. Azaralia Banks, PZ, Chief Keef, Money Man, and from Kodak Black, Yak. Okay, and Sexy Red.
Yes. At the very bed, at the very bottom of the page, there's a really good video. And I would recommend that people take a look at that too.
Okay,
it's very worth it.
It's Seth Meyer with Amber Ruffin, yes.
Yeah, she's really good. She is really good. Amber explains this whole thing, and she explains it very well, and certainly better than me.
Okay.
That's why I embedded that video.
Great. Well, refer people to Down with Tierney.
I had fun writing that piece this morning, and I hope people read it.
I hope so, too. I'll link to it. But I'll just tell people, go to downwithtyranny.com, check out the post from 9 hours ago, no normal black voters won't be backing Senor Trumpanzee in November. And then when you're done reading that, go back to the homepage, the main page of downwithtyranny.com, and click the About button in the upper right-hand corner, and then the Donate button. And then you can see all the Blue America candidates, and you can donate to them. And with Blue America, the money goes right to the candidate. Nobody's taking, like a Mark Penner or anybody, taking a cut at the top. The money goes to support the candidates exclusively, yes?
Yes, absolutely. You choose which candidate you want to donate to. So if you want to give $5 to Jamal Bowman and $10 to Cori Bush, you just put in five next to Jamal's name, and you put in 10 next to Corey's name. The money just goes directly to them. It doesn't come to Blue America first and then go to them. It just goes right to them through Act Blue.
Right, which is what sets you apart from most other PACs at Blue America. Because most others, you know, I hate to say it, but most of them are money-making ventures. Blue America is not for the people who run the PACs.
That's right.
Yeah, it's sad.
They are, they say we need to be paid for what we do. Our what we're doing is valuable, and we should be paid for it. And with us, you know, we don't feel that way. We feel like this is our way of giving back to the country, and we do. And we don't need to be paid for it. We just need to see it happen, and just because it's good for America.
Absolutely. Howie Klein. Find him at downwithtyranny.com. And yes, do check out the Blue America page. And I thank you. Enjoy your holiday weekend.
What's the holiday?
It's Easter.
This is Easter. So it's Easter Sunday?
I believe so. Tomorrow's Good Friday. And then Sunday would be Easter Sunday. I'm stressing it because we will be here tomorrow. Marcy Wheeler is on every Friday these days. And we actually pre-recorded tomorrow's segment today because today's her birthday and she's off, you know, enjoying the Irish countryside with her husband. It has nothing to do with Good Friday or Easter or anything like that, just birthday and fun times. So, but we'll be.
Is Monday a non-work day?
Good question. Let's see. Is Easter Sunday? And then Monday is not a holiday, apparently. I think many places give tomorrow as a holiday because it's Good Friday.
Oh, that makes sense. Yep.
So,
you know, Marcy had this song, Every Day is Like Sunday. Me, every day is like Sunday. Absolutely. I work full time every day. I wake up, you know, before dawn, start writing, and no days change.
No, I hear you. And I certainly don't celebrate any religious holidays. That's for sure. You said,
I celebrate religious holidays every day. That's why.
Okay.
That's reason
there
that
you go.
Changes.
There you go.
I literally, every day, I do these prayers, and I'm really loving it.
Good. Well, that's good. We each need to do whatever works for us. And it works for you. More power to you. I wish I had that. I don't have that.
But you might want to start off with just breathing exercises.
Oh, I do. Yoga, breathe and that stuff, but I don't. Yeah, we can get into this. As the Christian world is celebrating what? Christ coming back after being killed, then he resurrects. That's what Easter is about. I find the stories fascinating. I just don't know how people believe them. But okay, again, whatever works for you, go for it.
It's better just to focus on the message, Jesus's message, his exact words, rather than all that bullshit all around it. That organized religion stuff, which I have no truck with whatsoever.
Right.
But just to sort of contemplate what Jesus said. That's all.
I prefer Brian.
You don't have to believe anything. Just that.
Right. No, I'll watch Life of Brian. That's my favorite religious movie. that's more my speed. Jesus.
I'm watching the. A new Netflix show that came on yesterday for the first time. It's kind of a docudrama, I guess, about the life of Moses.
Oh,
and
really?
I started watching it last night, and it's pretty good. I'm liking it.
What's it called?
Moses.
Oh, that makes sense. No, look, I've been open by my religious training. It's this time of year. I'm sure the Ten Commandments will show up on television sometime this weekend. That movie is my religious training. That's how I know about Moses parting the Red Sea. That's how I know about the origins of Passover. That's my religious education was from watching the movie, The Ten Commandments. So
right.
That and now,
In the way I look at this stuff, I never have to think about like parting of the Red Sea. That's not the part of this that I that I focus on. Like I said, it's just the messages that I like. I like to contemplate, for example. I do like a Muslim prayer, a Jewish prayer, a Christian prayer, and a Buddhist prayer. And when I'm doing my Jewish prayer, I'm contemplating the Ten Commandments. And it's endless about the things that you can think about when it comes to that.
Well, in one of your posts that I read this morning, you said, I was thinking about the Ten Commandments, and I got the first nine, and I couldn't remember the tenth. It's like you were thinking about the Ten Commandments. That's interesting.
I was half asleep and half awake. It was like about 3:30 in the morning. I get up at 4 in the morning, and the Ten Commandments were going through my head, but I only had nine of them. They weren't in order. I only had nine of them. And then I thought I heard like a sound in the room, like maybe it could be like a mouse. And I wanted to sort of say something to scare it, to make it go away. So I said, "God damn it," just like that. And then I remembered, oh yes, that one commandment I couldn't remember was do not take the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah, well, because that one makes the least sense. Really? Okay, I get it. Anyway, Howie Klein, enjoy your weekend, whatever you choose to do with it. If you celebrate the resurrection of a guy who,
I do not.
Go for it.
I do not. Do not.
Well, I'm talking to the listeners too. Enjoy whatever you choose to celebrate. Celebrate, enjoy, have fun, and do good to the world for the world. All right. With that, Howie, I'll talk to you next week.
Great.
Thank you. Tomorrow, don't forget, Marcy Wheeler will be here. We recorded it this morning, but again, tomorrow's Good Friday. I have a feeling, Congress takes every opportunity to take the day off. And the courts too. I'm guessing not a whole lot will happen tomorrow, but I could be wrong. And if it does, I'll be here to run the recorded interview. And we cover a lot of territory. So tune in tomorrow. And we can again enjoy our weekend with Marcy Wheeler. All right, with that, I've gone on way too long. So I will bid you adieu until mañana. and say peace out. Have a good one, everyone.